The following podcast is edited from the live Voices of Montana program, Montana's original statewide radio talk show that's heard Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. The show has been airing for more than 20 years, and it wouldn't be possible without our local radio affiliates. Contact your local radio station if you'd like to hear the program live in your area, and it's currently not available. The show is also streamed live on voicesofmontana.com. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program, inviting you to contact us with comments or show ideas. The email address is studio@voicesofmontana.com. You know, I think every family, from the high end to the low end of the economic ladder, they're going to struggle with daycare decisions. And there's no mama bear or papa bear out there that takes those decisions lightly. I think for a lot of us, for most people, there's not a lot of options. And I think that's where the public kind of comes in. It becomes a public concern. And for daycare providers, man, their profit model is full of challenges too. Today, there's a new study by the Bureau of Business and Economic Research to be released, and we'll put that paper into perspective as we look at the impacts of inadequate child care in Montana today on Voices.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio. From Montana for Montana, it's Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz.
Hey!
Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text us at 781-627-5483. Now, I did it without my cheat sheet, Tom Schultz.
Hey, good work, Ed. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate that. Love having actually a live voice introduce us here. And
yeah, you know, actually, I forgot to bring up my cheat sheet for that, and I am proud to say I didn't need it.
Well, you are just the consummate professional. Oh. No doubt. Hey, thank you guys for being here. We've been a part of your Montana morning since 1998, and we are thankful to you for that. Great to have you alongside today. Tom Schultz here, and I think you'll be intrigued by the discussion on daycare. The BBER is releasing a study, and I think you know who the BBER is, the Bureau of Business and Economic Research. Had them on a million times here. Great organization based out of the University of Montana. Do a ton of things for this state, and it helps us get perspective on a lot of issues. This one is inadequate child care in Montana, and it does. It affects your family. It affects your employees. It'll infect if you have an employer, your bosses. How it affects us as taxpayers, too, is something to consider because, as I mentioned, I think it is very much a public concern. We'll delve into that here in just a little bit. Let me tell you who's on the lineup. It's Rob Grunewald. He is an economist with the Federal Reserve Bank in Minneapolis, part of their Community Development Department. I think you'll be maybe surprised. Maybe I was just surprised. Maybe you wouldn't be. But the Fed Reserve of Minneapolis have done a number of studies on Montana's child care and early childhood development. And this is where Rob comes in. He has co-authored the early childhood development, economic development with a high public return paper, which was in 2003, written several subsequent papers as well, pointed me to some of these studies, and I'll be looking at them in more detail, as will you throughout the program. Robert Tino Sonora, he's been on, a friend of the show, associate director of the BBER and director of healthcare research. And then John Baldridge from the BBER, he's the project manager, and he's the one to put this survey together. Well, that survey is going to be released today. We've got some information, some facts to pass along here as we go along, but we'll talk to John about the his methods for that survey, because for policymakers, they're going to want to know, you know, how credible is this information if we're going to take this information and direct public policy to shore up some shortcomings when it comes to daycare. And then a bit later on, Von Zenkel will join us. You might know Von. Folks in eastern Montana certainly will. He is a well-known and a longtime broadcaster for KJJM. He's a rock jock. Morning host there, also done a lot of sports, but very community-minded. He has been the chair of the Eastern Montana Economic Development Authority, and they are putting paper to perspective, so to speak, when they are about two hoops through the process of building a $2.2 million community daycare center. So we'll talk about that a bit later on. Study recently completed by the BBER, the Bureau of Business and Economic Research at the University of Montana, and it was sponsored by the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. It talks about the impacts of inadequate child care on Montana's families. We unpack that today here on Voices of Montana. Time in this segment just for introductions, and we'll start with Rob Grunewald, who's an economist in the Community Development Department of the Fed Reserve Bank in Minneapolis, As I mentioned, co-authored a number of studies on early childhood development. And Rob, as I did some homework on the program, I see you very vested in child care development. Why is that? And good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning. Great to be on the show, Tom. Well, just to note for perspective, the Minneapolis Fed, our banking district covers Montana, the Dakotas, Minnesota, the northern parts of Wisconsin, and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We're one of 12 Federal Reserve banks in the Federal Reserve System. I work in the community development function, which focuses on a number of issues that affect low to moderate income communities. And child care and investments in young children has implications for community development, but also more broadly, maximum sustainable employment. And that's one half of the Fed's dual mandate from Congress, the other being price stability. So the Minneapolis Fed has been looking at these investments in early childhood for over 15 years now.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I appreciate you pointing me to some studies, too. And I'll pass those along to the audience. Let's welcome Robert Tino Sonora, the Associate Director of the BBER and Director of Healthcare Research. The BBER conducted this study. Tino, good to have you back on. I hope you're well. What jumps out to you when you saw some of the conclusions or some of the statistics in this study?
Morning, Tom. Nice to be back.
Thank you.
Well, I think the obvious things is just the size of some of these numbers that are popping out. I mean, I think we all kind of understand that child care is very expensive, but to see the actual per family and then aggregated the total cost to the Montana economy for any given cohort, I think the numbers are pretty substantial. And when you compare it to the size of the overall Montana economy, they're significant. And if you sort of put that even aggregated even more up to the country level, if we sort of have similar sorts of numbers for the rest of the country, we're talking fairly serious costs in terms of productivity, lost time, any number of things. So there's pretty huge implications, and I think this is something that really COVID has kind of brought to the fore, especially with people trying to return to work and employers trying to find workers. But without that child care, it's become increasingly difficult for households and families to do that.
Yeah, in my mind, you know, we see child care as certainly a frontline issue for a lot of families, but publicly it seems to fall to the back of the line when it comes to priority in policymaking. Let's welcome John Baldridge, the project manager with the BBER, and he is the one who conducted this survey and put it all together. John, we got just about less than a minute here, and good morning, and thank you for being here. Let's talk about this survey a little bit. Why is it credible and useful for policymakers?
Hi, Tom. Good morning. Hey, the reason it's credible is that the study used the very best methods available for survey research. And there's just a couple of things about that I want to point out. The first is that we as researchers are absolutely transparent about our methods that we did use. And if people are interested in those methods, they should go to bber.umt.edu, and right on the front of BBER's webpage, they can click on a link and get everything they ever wanted to know about the methods.
All right, John, break upcoming. We'll continue this because that's an important question, and then we unpack this study in great detail as we come on back with more from Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana. All right, let's put some meat on the table. I'm Tom Schultz. Thank you again for joining us here at Voices of Montana. Made the introductions. Rob Grunewald is with us with the Fed Reserve Bank in Minneapolis. Tino Sonora as well, Associate Director of the BBER and Director of Healthcare Research. And then John Baldridge, Project Manager. He put this survey together, and its lost possibilities, the impacts of inadequate child care on Montana families, employers, and taxpayers. John, we kind of left off with you. You talked about transparency. That's obviously very important when we want credibility in our studies to make effective policies. Further defend this study for us.
Well, the other thing that folks need to know about the methods of this study before we get to the real message, and that's the findings, that is that this survey was randomly sampled. It wasn't a panel. It wasn't a volunteer sort of thing. It was rigorously randomly sampled. And that is one key to people around the state being able to judge the quality of a survey.
Let's go to Rob. Rob, what did you find out from this survey? Obviously, you commissioned it with the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. Anything jump out at you, or are these just confirmations of issues that you have been following for a while?
But yeah, like I mentioned, we had been looking at the role of early care, and particularly in Montana, for the past couple of years, with a group called the Funders for Montana's Children and also a staff at our Helena branch office. And we've been hearing that parents have been struggling finding childcare, and that also businesses are noting that childcare has an impact on their hiring and recruitment. That's why we wanted to turn to the BBR to conduct the survey and substantiate what we found. What was helpful about the survey is to actually put some dollars behind the total impact. So seeing that on average of a household in Montana is losing $5,700 annually because they're not able to find child care or because their child care arrangements are not reliable.
While we're with you here, why don't you talk about some of these other studies? You did something in Yellowstone County, Fergus County, also I think Missoula County as well. The public, at least certain interests in the public, businesses in particular, but also economic development corporations, are beginning to understand this value of adequate daycare, correct?
This is true. We see that partnerships in Montana, including chambers of commerce at the local level, particularly we highlight Missoula. Their chamber has been very active in helping their community find solutions to childcare. Also, smaller communities like Lewiston, they have pulled together the business community and childcare providers to find solutions. And just to also note, we also turned to partner with the Montana Department of Labor and Industry on a survey of businesses about childcare. It was in the field about the same time that the BBR study of households was out there. They're going to release their full study this fall. Next week, the Minneapolis Fed will share some preliminary results, and they really complement the household survey. So, for example, 56% of Montana employers indicated there's a shortage of available childcare options in their community, and nearly 40% indicate that a lack of childcare impacts their worker recruitment or retention.
Tino Sonora, Associate Director at the BBER and Director of Healthcare Research, put this in perspective for us in that public context, because one question I would say, but it comes with a lot of caveats, is, you know, is the taxpayer, is the public ready to publicly fund private daycare? Now, we do a lot of things in terms of subsidizing daycare in an education level, but this, does this indicate that we need to educate the public, or is the public ready to take a serious look at subsidizing private daycare?
Well, I mean, that's the $64 billion question now. What are we going to do about this going forward? I mean, if you look at other countries who are sort of at the same level of development as us, say the Organization of Economic Development. We are the only country of those 30-odd countries which have zero required maternity leave. The average for the OECD countries is somewhere on the order of about 20 weeks or so, maybe a little bit less so. And those all have some sort of provisions where it's either publicly provided or the firms provide that leave so that families can at least get off the ground in terms of getting their family and get everything sorted out. In terms of the public option, I mean, that's always that slippery slope that we have here in the United States where people don't want to have higher taxes to cover some of these costs. But on the other hand, you know, if you have to pay, say, in the state of Montana, about $3,500, $5,000 a year, that's kind of a type of a tax whereby the parent has to bear the whole burden of that cost. With a tax that even people like me who don't have children pay, you know, we cover some of those costs, but we also get benefit from that, even though we don't have children, whereby children are maybe perhaps better educated, leading to higher incomes. We also get the benefits of having our coworkers be at work, increasing our productivity rather than requiring a need to go and take care of their children. So there's a whole host of issues that I think we really need to start thinking about considerably at both the state and national level in terms of how we handle child care, especially in the first 5 years of life, which are the most crucial periods of life. And it's just a matter of how is this going to be paid for? I mean, nothing's for free. I mean, and another thing that we have to discuss is, you know, how do we pay our child care workers? I mean, they're amongst the lowest paid people, workers in the country. And, I mean, wouldn't you want your children to be with somebody who's very competent and not making, say, $15,000 a year? I mean, there's a lot of questions. It's complicated. And I think it's time for at least this debate to be serious and not be put on the back burner, as you said earlier. And I'm sure Rob has far more to say than I.
Rob, stand by. I got to take a news headline break here. It's political season. We're pretty full. And then I want to have John come back on as well and kind of define some things here. What is inadequate or unreliable child care? And what is better access to child care? We'll talk about the public's responsibility when it comes to adequate child care here in just a little bit. Before we conclude this segment, John Baldridge, project manager, thank you all for being here. Von Zanko is going to join us in just a little bit, and we'll talk about that here in more detail. But before we run out of time, John, I wanted to have you talk more about this survey. What is inadequate or unreliable child care? What is better access to child care?
Right. Tom, when we use the phrase inadequate child care, what we mean is a lack of access to reliable child care. So what we don't mean is the study, we're not commenting on the quality of child care provided. We're referring to a lack of access, mostly the quantity of reliable child care. And I wanted to get to your last point as well. This study, I believe, points to an opportunity for the public and for businesses to have a more informed discussion about this issue. The study, the bottom line from the study is that in 2019, the Montana economy lost $232 million because of a lack of access to reliable child care. And businesses in Montana lost almost $55 million in 2019 because of lower productivity caused by employee absenteeism and by through incurring employee turnover costs. Now, the taxpayers in Montana lost $32 million in 2019. That was because parents' wages were lower because they missed work because they didn't have access to reliable child care. And finally, parents lost $145 million in 2019 because their wages were lower because they didn't have access to reliable child care. So I think those findings really do set the table for a conversation between taxpayers, between parents, and between our businesses who lost $55 million in 2019 because of a lack of access to reliable child care.
That's well stated, and we're going to explore that specifically when we welcome Von Zanko next, chair of the Eastern Montana Economic Development Authority. Their group there is talking about funding a taxpayer community daycare center. So, John, thank you for your work on this, and we'll circle back with more Voices of Montana in just a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
Thanks again for being here. Everybody is invested in this. It's daycare. It's tough on families. It's tough on daycare providers. How tough? Well, as you heard John Baldridge talk about, inadequate child care costs Montana businesses nearly $55 million per year. The entire Montana economy, $232 million in 2019. The average family, inadequate daycare, $5,700 per year. We talk more about that here in just a bit on Voices, and I hope things are going well for you. Let's welcome our next guest here, and it's Von Zanko, chair of the Eastern Montana Economic Development Authority. That is publicly funded by the taxpayers of Fallon County. Only 3,000 of the taxpayers in Fallon County in Baker, Montana. He's also a longtime morning host and manager there at KJJM 105, 100.5, The Rock. I've known him throughout the years as well as a sportscaster. Vaughn, let me tell you who you're speaking with here, by the way, and my pleasure again to welcome back Robert Tino Sonora, Associate Director of the BBER and Director of Healthcare Research. And then Rob Grunwald is with us, economist with the Community Development Department of the Fed Reserve Bank in Minneapolis. But first, Vaughn, thank you for being here. I hope things are well. I want to ask you to just unpack this community development project that you guys are in the middle of, $2.2 million daycare facility for workers in Baker, Plevna, and elsewhere around Fallon County.
Well, great. It's good to be on the show, Tom. I'm honored to be on Voices of Montana and good to be here with Rob and Tino and everybody. The work they've done is certainly fantastic. And yep, That's obviously some information we're going to use too. But as far as our daycare project in Baker goes, Tom, we lost here in Fallon County our last licensed child care center back in 2018. And that was the point where we, with the Eastern Montana Economic Development Authority, said something needs to be done. This isn't something that's going to be done privately. It's too complicated. And, you know, just from what you guys have talked about, the money involved and then the regulations and stuff and setting up a daycare facility and all of that, it's too much for anyone privately. That's no one was really going to step up and do that. And we as a board decided, all right, we're a taxpayer-funded organization, and what our goal is economic development, and how are we best going to help develop the economy, then provide with, or at least to help facilitate the starting of a daycare facility in Baker. So that sort of got the ball rolling back in 2018. And we did extensive studies. We did surveys of our own. We found 167 children between the ages of 0 and 5 in Fallon County. And really the only daycare we have in the entire county is just people babysitting at their houses. So this is something that is desperately needed. And we talked to local businesses and sort of the same thing. I mean, we have businesses in this town that have to close down during big events like the Fallon County Fair and during holidays because they just, you know, the times when they should be making money because they can't find people to work for them. So they have to close down because everybody's, because people have to stay home with their kids. They got to take their kids to the fair. So you want to talk about economic development, that's right in our wheelhouse here with the Port Authority here. And that's what we've been doing for the last 2 years.
Yeah. And community oriented, community minded solutions there, but just 3,000 good hearted folks in Fallon County couldn't possibly fit this bill alone. So this is where it becomes a public concern. And Rob Grunwald, I want to circle back with you to comment on what Vaughn Zenko and the community is going through at this point. As he talked about 167 children without daycare, without adequate daycare there. And then talk about that previous question regarding, is the public ready to seriously accept subsidizing private daycare facilities or turning it into public daycare, because there are a lot of caveats that go with that.
Sure. The challenges that you see in Fallon County, that's, we can see that in other areas, both rural, also urban areas as well. But I think that the example here shows that the solutions are not just more government spending and support, but that public-private partnerships at local levels can use their own resources to find solutions. Businesses benefit a lot from having adequate child care. So businesses are involved in this as well. Certainly government has an important role. They provide child care subsidies to low-income families, for example. You know, one finding from the BBR study shows that low-income and American Indian households carried the largest burden of the inadequate child care in the state.
Tino, take that macro look at what's going on in Baker, Montana, in Fallon County. And talk about, you know, the resources that are going to be dedicated to it and what effect that might have overall on the community.
Yeah, I think Vaughn said it really well when he said that, you know, over 100, you know, businesses had to shut down because there was just no availability for any sort of child care during the fair. I mean, that, and multiply that times any number of events that maybe occur in that county, and you have these sort of little micro events which sort of aggregate up to quite a substantial economic impact. And then when we look at that even on a bigger state or national level, then this starts to get pretty substantial. And I think COVID has kind of really highlighted some of these problems because it's not just a single, you know, state fair or town fair. It's a month or two or months long kind of situation where where child care is found to be lacking. And so businesses are kind of struggling now to find workers because of this. You know, the schooling issue has become a very large issue. Obviously, our study concentrates on 0 to 5, but suffice to say that, you know, once you hit child, when children hit school age, that the same issues arise. If I can't send my kids to school, I have to homeschool them or find somebody to homeschool them or something, then this has a fairly substantial, huge impact. I know when COVID hit, you know, a lot of countries which have relatively good childcare already in place, you know, they were much easier, it was easier for them to sort of get things up and running again, whereas we're sort of lagging behind. So again, I think this, what Rob mentioned, a private public thing is something we talk, but at least we're having that discussion. I think that's the most important thing, is to get this issue, this as an economic issue, is on, in addition to a social issue, on the front page and on the front burner of policy discussions.
Talk about that discussion, Vaughn. As I understand, you're two hoops through the process: the feasibility study, the architectural study. You're looking at $2.2 million in this daycare center, but the facility and operation is going to allow for up to 36 full-time employees, and I know that that's a bill that the 3,000 people in Fallon County can't foot, so to speak. How did this discussion go as chair of the Eastern Montana Economic Development Authority? I'm sure it went in a lot of directions. How ready are people to use their taxpayer dollars to fund daycare?
Well, I think we've got a situation here, Tom, where I think it's something that everybody, we did a survey, like, is childcare necessary? In fact, 100% of people are going to say, yes, it absolutely is. And then once you get into the meat and potatoes of that and you find out just how much it's going to cost, then people start to back off a little bit. And so that's why I think our project, which is, as the guy said, a sort of a combination of public and private. I mean, our goal is we want to build this facility. We want to help find the staff for it and to provide whatever we can. But at the end of the day, operating these facilities is expensive. And I think our initial study to operate this as we wanted to showed about a $345,000 yearly budget deficit. And that's money that needs to be made up somewhere. And the fact is, it's a situation we can either raise the price of the kids, or we can lower the what we pay the employees, or this can become a publicly funded thing and sort of work as a public private sort of a endeavor for us. And I think eventually people are starting to realize it. Yeah, it hurts when you talk about we may have to pass the mill levies, we have to do this. But I think at the end of the day, and you're starting to see it more and more year after year, and again, especially with COVID, when you get a situation where you've got kids at home when they can't go to school, and then you've got people that have to work, you're seeing people are starting to recognize that this is something that maybe some public funding is going to need to go to if it's going to operate not only successfully but efficiently too, and actually do some good for the kids.
Rob, I want to have you follow up. Rob Grunewald, economist with the Fed Reserve Bank in Minneapolis, been invested in early childhood development and child care for a long time. Read a recent paper of yours. This is in light of the coronavirus pandemic, but there are a lot of recommendations for policy changes here. What are some of the policy changes that policymakers can enact to help families, to help employers, employees, and to help these daycare providers, because their profit margin is full of challenges as well?
Well, before the pandemic, childcare business margins were relatively thin. And when the pandemic arrived, it added additional costs to providers, such as operating with smaller class sizes, more sanitization, finding personal protective equipment, and so on. At this point, it is appropriate for a government to help support this sector, and has been to some degree, and needs more support in order to make sure that they can make through the pandemic and provide the essential service that they're doing now in helping the economy reopen. Data show that there has been some reduction in the number of providers that were down in the state by some measure. And in order to make that full recovery, we're going to need some support to help cover those COVID-19 related costs.
Tino, I don't know if you have any questions for Vaughn or Rob.
I wanted to actually comment a little bit on what Vaughn said earlier, and I think this is a great sort of not petri dish, but a little sort of small ecosystem where in a smaller town, I think the effects of low quality or low, inadequate childcare are much more obvious because people basically can see the effects, you know, right in front of them on it. You know, if I go down to the store and everybody's at the state fair and the store that I want to buy something is closed, I mean, that's a direct impact that affects me. And I think what happens when you get in a very, very large economy is, you know, you see the, you see, when you talk about taxpayers and having to pay through taxes in a public option or however that's just going to get paid, you see that immediate payment, but you don't necessarily see the benefits accruing to you, or the benefits seem relatively small. And when you stretch that over time, these kinds of costs become even more sort of abstract. And so it's very difficult in a larger economy or a larger region to see just what those impacts are. But I think the example that Bob was saying was great because it's a small community, impacts are immediate, and so people recognize that there is a need for this. But the problem is for a small community is you do, as Rob alluded to, you have some sort of economies of scale associated with this. And it's, you know, if I'm taking care of 3 kids in my healthcare center versus 300 kids in my healthcare center, it just might be too costly for smaller communities. And that's where the public option, I think, really becomes important. So I just wanted to comment a little bit on that small versus large size. And
yeah, Vaughn, we're running out of time as we do on the program. Any final thoughts? And what's the biggest hurdles that you guys have in front of you now?
Right now, it's honestly going to be, you know, staffing. We're looking for a director. But, you know, I think those guys were right. And the fact is that, I mean, stuff like this is already taxpayer funded. I mean, the government is great about providing money for facilities. There's lots of grants that are going to be able to help us build a state-of-the-art daycare facility in Fallon County. But once you get beyond the building of the thing, the actual operation of it is where there's not that much public money available. And I think that's the direction we need to go, is look beyond, like, hey, here's a building, now you're on your own. Let's continue that on, because childcare, I mean, it affects your friends, your neighbors, your whole community. It affects everybody.
This was definitely more than just we should have done a series on this, and we probably will, Tina. We'll have you back on to unpack this a little further. Rob Grunewald, I may keep you around as well. I shouldn't say it that way. I may keep your email hot, because there are some good studies here, as you talked about, Lewistown, Billings, Missoula, and we'll have to pick this up again at some other time. I'm sorry we ran out of time today, but thank you for your time here today. Any final thoughts?
Thanks for having us. This, as you said, this is a conversation that's on the table and needs to be continued.
Yeah, we will. And I wonder if we're still climbing the hill or looking at least the peak of understanding this. Vaughn Zenkel, thanks for what you do as well, okay? Good luck with that, and we'll circle back with you too, okay, sir?
We'll keep you up to date. Thank you, Tom.
Appreciate it. Tino, as usual, a great job. We'll talk to you down the road.